me that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. Hey, hey.
We got words to say to you.
Wow, trying to cut me off early.
I slipped and I paused the music. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I know.
It's like you don't want us to finish our jam and get hyped for this episode.
I know. I'm cutting us off.
It's fine.
So, here we are.
Welcome again to Good Girls Go Green.
Thank you so much, everyone, for being so patient with us as we get through
the last busy few months summer. Of summer.
Yeah.
It's a few weeks of summer. Final weeks.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully now we will be in a more consistent schedule. We'll get things under control and underway. And in the meantime, please enjoy our little freebie episodes, of which you can find more on our Patreon.
Yes. We hope that you like them because we didn't want to disappoint you guys and leave you with nothing. But also we just didn't have the time to...
It just didn't work out.
...do a full episode. So... welcome back, though. We were just sitting here jamming, and I was like, wow, it's been so long since we've done this. So, it's good to be back. Vacation's always good, but it's good to be back.
Yes, it's great to be back. And in the meanwhile, I guess I already said in the meanwhile.
Yes.
After the meanwhile passes, we've got school and work on the horizon and new opportunities, and it's going to be great. You say, wow, like I just said inspired. Something so motivational. I'm dreading school. That starts next week.
I hope our listeners are ready to hear you complain again.
I'm not going to complain because we don't talk about our weeks anymore.
That's true. But here we are talking about our lives.
Yes.
So, should we do it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Cool. I'm excited about this one.
I am too. It's another fun one. So we are going to be talking about...
the Loch Ness Monster. I thought you were going to say it with me all the way, and it just...
I was trying to do... It flopped.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Loch Ness Monster. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. Let's jump right in.
Cool. Well, I have got a couple things to start us out.
Okay.
From the top, though, what are your sources?
My sources are visitscotland.com, britannica.com, thoughtco.com, conservationvip.org, and leeds.ac.uk.
Sweet.
What do you got?
Perfect. I don't think any of them matched up, so that's
nice.
Great.
Nice.
I've got wikipedia.org, obviously.
A classic.
Classic, classic. I've got hudsonalpha.org.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. And then newyorktimes.com.
.com.
So we've got some good stuff coming your way. Some good .org, some good .coms.
Some great .uks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good.
All good stuff.
Yep. So Loch Ness, I guess to start us off, Loch Ness is one of the largest and deepest expanses of water in the UK.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Weird.
Yeah. Its banks plunge to a depth of over 800 feet, and it
Copyright. You know how you can, like, you can just tell when you just, like, copy-paste something? I don't know if you did copy-paste that, but...
I might have.
Just sometimes phrasing...
I can say plunge.
No. You're totally fine. But...
You just added me hard.
No, because we source things all the time, so it's totally fine. That's true.
So everything that I say is just within air quotes here.
Yeah. It was just the way that you phrased it. I was just like, that definitely sounds like a copy-paste.
You added me. I feel exposed.
It's okay. I copy-paste all the time.
I'm just going to say that every time you say something now. I have to. So, yes. Its banks plunge to a depth of over 800 feet.
Wow. I feel like I'm watching a documentary.
Copy-paste. It is the largest in a string of lochs along the Great Glen. And if you didn't know this, loch is Scottish for lake.
Yes. Loche.
There's no E.
Oh, you're right.
It's just loch. It's just loch. It's about 23 miles long. And there are reports of a monster inhabiting Loch Ness that date back to ancient times.
Yes. And that's where the monster gets its name, obviously.
Yes. Is the Loch Ness monster.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to learn a fun fact about the monster?
I do.
Its nickname is Nessie.
Is that your fun fact?
Yeah, which for those of you who are Twilight fans, spoiler alert. Bella has a baby and Jacob the werewolf imprints on the baby. For those of you who aren't Twilight fans, this is gonna sound so crazy to you guys.
It's so crazy, and I have seen Twilight.
Yes. Anyways, so he imprints on this baby, and imprinting is basically, it's kind of weird. I don't really know.
You make yourself your soul, a soulmate.
Yeah, it's kind of like a soulmate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he imprints on the baby, and he nicknames her baby Nessie.
What's the baby's actual name?
Renesmee.
Ah.
I hate that I know that off the top of my head.
No hesitation. Renesmee.
I can't hold down movie quotes. I don't know actors' names.
But Twilight fan fiction sold.
But Bella's baby, Renesmee.
Renesmee. Yeah. And so they call her Nessie.
Well, only him. Only Jacob. Yeah. So, just Jacob named the baby Nessie.
It's weird.
Yes.
Yep.
So, that's my fun fact.
That's a pretty interesting fun fact.
Thanks.
Yes.
She says unamused.
Very interesting. No, just weirded out by the whole Twilight thing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Don't worry about that part. Yeah. The only part that actually mattered was the Nessie thing.
Yeah.
I just had to explain why it was relevant.
I got you. So, local stone carvings depict a mysterious beast with flippers, which I feel like that says something as they're local and stone. Yeah. I mean, they're not like paper drawings, they're right. Stone carvings.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I've taken like kind of history type classes.
Uh-huh.
And it's always interesting, like I've had professors that have talked about how when things are written in stone, you really need to think about the importance of it, because mm-hmm. there's not much stone and it's kind of hard to write things in stone.
Right.
And so it probably meant something pretty important if they're writing it, if they're like making the effort to write it in stone.
Chisel it into the rock.
Yeah. So that's a great point.
Yeah. Yep. And then the first written account appears in a biography of St. Columba from 565 AD, written by a Scottish monk.
Yes.
Do you know the story behind it?
I do, but you can go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to snatch that for you. Yeah. The monster allegedly bit a swimmer and was prepared to attack another swimmer when Columba stepped in and ordered it to go back. And many alleged encounters seem inspired by Scottish folklore, which is filled with mythical water creatures.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to add?
So, yeah. So the reason why they were there in the first place was because he was an Irish man. He was an Irish monk, right?
He was an Irish monk?
Yes.
Not a Scottish monk?
Well, in my account, he was an Irish monk.
In my account, he was a Scottish monk.
Visiting Scotland.
Who's correct?
I don't know. Either way. But he was living in this like land when he came across some locals who were burying somebody who had already been attacked.
Oh.
And he
was quote-unquote attacked by a quote-unquote monster.
Yes. And so he was inquiring about the situation. Interesting. And they told him about the monster.
Yeah.
And so he went and so the locals explained to him that the man had been swimming in the water and that he had been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then after hearing that, that's when he actually sent somebody to go swim across the lake or the loch. And then the monster.
As the locals say.
Yeah. And then the monster came out, and that's when he made the sign of the cross and commanded him to come no further and not touch the man, and the creature returned.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
So
there you go.
Something new every day.
St. Columba.
St. Columba.
Utnaboot.
In Scotland.
As they say.
Yes.
So in 1999, no, it wasn't 1993. In 1933,
yes,
the legend began to grow. And in April, so we've got a few different sightings over that year.
Mm-hmm.
In April, a couple saw a dragon or a prehistoric monster that crossed their car's path and disappeared into the water. In December, a big game hunter named Marmaduke Wetherill, which every time I hear the name Marmaduke, I think of the big Great Dane in the comics.
Oh.
You know, like the Sunday comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a comic strip called Marmaduke.
Oh.
And Marmaduke is a big Great Dane
who's so
named Marmaduke. And so that's what I think of when I
Marmaduke.
Hear the name Marmaduke is this great big Great Dane.
Before you keep going, I'm curious, like, why do you think in 1930s it got bigger?
The Great Depression. I don't know. People had nothing to do. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure why that specific timeline.
I was just thinking, like, maybe, yeah, you're right, the Great Depression was around then. But also maybe, like, it was getting a little bit more accessible for people to travel a little bit more than before.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, like, news was traveling around the world a little bit more. The world was
yeah.
getting a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Especially with World War II didn't happen yet. But World War I
mm-hmm.
happened in the 20s.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But also, I think, like, the invention of, or the boom of photography and
yes.
television and
yeah,
stuff
that's
like that,
probably true too.
Which I'll get there. Because in 1934, something happened.
Okay.
Which you probably already know. But
all right, keep going.
We'll get there. So Marmaduke, the Great Dane, was hired to locate the monster and found large footprints along the shore. However, this was revealed to be a hoax because it was determined that the tracks were made with this made me laugh, because the tracks were made with an umbrella stand or ashtray that had a hippopotamus leg as a base.
What?
It was like the most random.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Like someone's like, you know what I have?
Go grab the umbrella with the hippo.
Go get the goods. And I feel like someone's digging through their attic or whatever and they find
yeah,
a hippopotamus
so...
leg ashtray yeah. or umbrella stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So weirdly specific.
Like, I know what I'm going to do today.
Let's go. That's like one of those drunker otherwise incapacitated moments
yes.
that you're like, guys, I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna pretend like there's a monster in the lock.
Yes. Let's fool all the Americans.
Yes. So then in 1934, Robert Kenneth Wilson took the iconic photo known as the Surgeon's Photograph, which is the classic black and white picture of Nessie with her head and neck out of the water. Do you know
yeah.
the one that I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's pretty common. Like, even, I'm pretty sure there's some kind of beer that is, like, inspired by or, like, branded around the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And even that has, like, that picture on it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what's got me thinking that maybe that's, as photography is kind of starting to boom and news is starting to spread a little bit, and that might be why Nessie boomed so quickly
right.
in the 30s.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
There's actual physical proof instead of people just talking about it and carving pictures.
Yeah. Yes. Just taking the time to chisel it in the old stone.
Yeah.
So it was speculated that the creature was a plesiosaur, which is a marine reptile that went extinct about 65.5 million years ago.
Okay. I've seen The Land Before Time.
Ah.
And I'm pretty sure that the Loch Ness Monster is probably a dinosaur.
I mean, yes. But also, Loch Ness is only about 10,000 years old. So for a dinosaur to have gone extinct 65.5 million years ago, and Loch Ness only to be about a fraction of that.
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Where did it go?
Food for thought, you know?
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some kind of explanation out there that's just, like, right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I have some theories that we'll get to here in a minute,
okay.
but...
Cool.
Sonar explorations have been taken, most notably in 1987 and 2003, to locate Nessie, but they were unsuccessful.
Okay.
So, some good old
bummer
sonograms.
Yeah, but also whatever. It's a pretty deep lake, so I don't know how far their technology goes.
Right.
But
I mean, from 1987 to 2003, I think that's a pretty big technology jump.
Yeah.
But even from 2003 to 2021, yeah, that's an even bigger technology jump, I feel like.
I mean, considering, like, obviously the ocean is probably much deeper than the lake. But, like, considering that there's even parts of the ocean that have gone unexplored, I feel like there's...
Most of the ocean?
Yeah.
We don't know a single thing.
I feel like there's... The technology still isn't quite there.
Yeah.
And so I feel like probably even in a lake that big, of that size,
mm-hmm,
like, there's got to be stuff that we just can't quite reach.
Right. You know what I mean? And, I mean, what are the odds that as you're doing your sonar exploration that something goes around your sonar?
True.
You know?
Yeah, it's not like you're doing a sonar of the whole lake at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's a thought there.
Yeah.
In 1994, it was revealed that Wilson's surgeon's photograph was a hoax. It was a plastic and wooden head attached to a toy submarine. And they actually thought that it was...
Wait, that's the famous picture?
Yeah, the famous picture has been revealed to be a hoax.
Oh, no.
Yes. And they think that it's connected to good old Marmaduke.
Uh-huh.
And kind of a revenge for how his footprints ended up to be a hoax, too.
Yeah.
So...
This feels very Scooby-Doo.
It does. It does. Have you seen the Scooby-Doo Loch Ness Monster,
yes,
episode? That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
I like the ones where they do, like, Scooby-Doo and, like, types of, like, the Yeti or the... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the good old classics with the Loch Ness Monster, the... Ooh, the witch one.
Oh, yes.
You know, where they meet the hex girls.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was, like, one of my favorite ones growing up.
Were the hex girls.
I remember picking that out at a Blockbuster. I can, like, picture it in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Getting it for the weekend and being like, this is what I want for the whole weekend.
I remember watching it on a little cube TV that was no bigger than my computer.
Yes.
And, I mean, it had a little handle and the little dials on the bottom that you could change the color of the screen.
Uh-huh.
And it was connected to, I think, the VCR. It wasn't even on DVD when it first came out. It was on the VCR.
Oh, yeah. DVDs are, like, fairly recent.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
And I'd sit and I'd watch it on the little cube TV.
Yeah.
We're the Hex Girls.
Wow.
And we're gonna watch that now.
Movie night?
Oh, heck yes. Heck yes.
That's a great... Anybody looking to, like, get ready for fall, which I know it's only August, don't hate me, but also I'm ready for Halloween.
Hey, people start listening to Christmas music in September.
Yeah.
I think we're allowed to celebrate fall a little premature.
True. So anybody ready or, like, wanting to get in the mood, that's a great one to get in the mood.
You know what? I think I attribute my love of all things fall and scary to that movie, the Scooby-Doo and the Loch Ness, not Loch Ness Monster, Scooby-Doo and the...
The witches or whatever.
Oh, I don't know what it's called.
The Hex Girls.
It's... Is it... Are they in Salem?
Yes. Yeah.
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 That was, yeah, I remember that. They were in, like, this witchy town.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
It's so good. So that one, and then the witches.
Oh.
The...
Is that the mice one?
Have I made, have I made you? Have I forced you to see it yet?
Yeah, I think we saw it.
Yeah. So good. So good.
I could be wrong.
I don't remember making you see it.
Or maybe we watched the trailer.
I think so, because I think we talked about seeing it.
Yeah.
I know I made our roommate watch it with me, and she was like... I can't remember if she had seen it or if she hadn't.
Yeah.
But she was a little weirded out by it. But that's what I attribute my love of fall to.
Yes, so some fall movie recs, guys.
There you
we
go.
We know it's only the end of August, but...
It's almost... September is fall.
Yeah.
September is fall.
Well, this will be coming out just before September.
It's great.
If you're ready to pregame fall this weekend.
Oh, I'm ready to pregame fall, right. So, In 2018, a DNA survey was conducted on Loch Ness to determine what organisms lived in the waters, and no large animals were found.
Yes.
Though the results indicated the presence of eels. So it leaves people to wonder if Nessie is just an oversized eel.
Yeah.
So.
It's possible.
That's a very big eel.
I was going to say, plus eels don't have feet, do they?
No. But they can adapt. I don't know. I don't know how adaptable eels are.
In my mind, Nessie is basically the water version of those dinosaurs that eat leaves.
Yeah.
With the long necks.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there are water versions of those.
Yeah.
They just have the flippers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Nessie is to me.
Me too.
So it seems weird to have it be an eel.
Yeah, it does.
But.
But I mean, there's eels in Loch Ness.
To decide?
Yeah.
What Nessie is. Nessie can decide herself.
That's true.
Yeah, so I actually also saw the DNA research stuff that or article that you were talking mm-hmm. about. I don't know if it was the same article because I think they were talking about things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
But the scientists basically have been using the DNA research in the lake. And like you said, they found like traces of eel and they couldn't tell if it was either just a lot of different eel or like one big eel, mm-hmm. which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But in the media, how like it's being portrayed is that the DNA tracking is to find proof of the Loch Ness monster to kind of captivate the attention of the public.
Yeah.
But in reality, the research is actually, or like the scientists, they're using like obviously highly sophisticated tools, and just like super detail oriented to try to kind of, I guess, detail and map out the marine ecosystem of Loch Ness Lake. Mm-hmm. Of that's
of Loch Ness.
Of Loch Ness. Yes. And they're hoping that like in the future that will contribute to ecological efforts and also just like, you know, the reason why they're doing that is because they're leveraging genetics to better understand and protect the marine life. So that's kind of like you were saying, you know, they're using it to try to find DNA proof mm-hmm. of the Loch Ness monster, but really in reality it's kind of in turn gonna help out the environment, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So
wow, that's neat. So on the bright side, whether or not Nessie's an eel, the Loch Ness Monster has contributed nearly $80 million annually to Scotland's economy.
Yes.
So
many people, the legend's just so big at this point that so many people are going over there
and yeah.
trying to see if they can get a peek.
Which, I mean, same. I would definitely go in hopes of seeing the Loch Ness Monster. And I would kid myself that every single wave and bump on the on the water was the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Which actually, funnily enough, that just reminded me of when I was, I don't know how old I was probably 10 or 11, and my grandparents lived up in the Bear Lake area mm-hmm. of Utah, and there's, I think it's kind of a spin off of the Loch Ness Monster, but there's a Bear Lake Monster.
Yeah, I think not a lot of lakes, but there's definitely like spins off of that at
yeah.
different lakes.
Yeah. So I remember we were jet skiing and my dad stopped us in the middle of the lake and said, "I'll give you $1 if you jump into the water and yell, 'Bear Lake Monster, come get me.'" And I did it. And I was, I think that is where my fear of deep water began.
Probably.
As I'm sitting in the water. I'm sitting in the water and he had us put our hands up and yell, "Bear Lake Monster, come get me." And it scared me to death.
And how much did you make for that?
I made $1.
That's so not worth it. The years of trauma that followed.
But funny. Very funny.
Yeah. That's still such a dad about thing. That.
Yeah. My poor children.
That's funny.
Just traumatized. So something kind of neat about the Loch Ness Monster is that it's known as the most famous cryptid, which is a creature whose existence has been attested by eyewitness accounts and is widely believed to exist,
but also wildly
existing. However, it is not recognized by establishment science.
Actually,
yes,
I have a article, and it's okay. Not necessarily to prove you wrong.
Yes,
but it is somewhat recognized.
Uh-huh.
Because, so I found this New York Times article from 1975.
Oh.
So back in the day. It was actually kind of funny to read because, like, the language was different.
Uh-huh.
Not super different, but just, like, it was like, oh, that phrase kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. But it talks about how initial efforts that came from the Loch Ness Monster to preserve it were by, like, giving the creature a scientific name.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to know what the scientific name was?
Tell me. I did see it earlier today, but I didn't write it down. So, please educate us.
The scientific name given was Nesiteres rhombopetris.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm clearly a scientist.
Yes.
But the reason why they gave it this name, like I said, for conservation efforts, but that way it would be, like, under British law, it would be against the law to harm the creature in any way.
Oh, so interesting.
Yes. So not very necessarily cool to say that it's recognized as an official, like, animal under science, but, like, they did do that to make it
a little bit more tangible.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is so cryptids are logically impossible to prove with 100% certainty that they do not exist, no matter how much fact-based proof is provided.
Right.
So, you know, we could say all until we're blue in the face that Nessie doesn't exist, but we cannot 100% rule out, and scientists cannot 100% rule out that she does not exist.
Right. There's always that possibility.
She could. And she has a scientific name.
Yeah. So, you go, Nessie. I believe in you.
You go. So, there's some other Loch Ness conservation efforts that I'm going to talk briefly about, and then I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
I have a very neat surprise. I don't know how surprised it'll be. I just found something really cool that I was very excited to share.
Sweet.
So, some conservation efforts are ACOM and the Lifescape Project have established a natural capital laboratory working hand-in-hand with the University of Cumbria?
Cool.
However you say that.
Yeah.
To restore the natural environment, native forests and bogs, engaging local communities, and reintroducing locally extinct species.
Yes.
So So that's all around the Loch Ness area.
Yeah, I think that's the same group that was doing that DNA research that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah. That would make sense. Because they are doing a lot of, like, let's test and see what species there are. Let's do a lot of virtual mapping. Let's do a lot of drone flights to kind of map the area, stuff like that. So that would make a lot of sense if they were doing the DNA testing as well.
Yeah, and in the media, the only thing that's really getting portrayed from what they're doing is that they're testing DNA for the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to what I was talking about how really they're doing all these great things for conservation, but the way that it's portrayed in the media just to draw the public's attention is by making it about the Loch Ness Monster.
Right. Because I think they've done a really great job at harnessing where the capitalism is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of capitalism, clearly, in the Loch Ness Monster. So if you go around and say, oh, we're going to do conservation efforts for the European beaver, great. That's great. But nobody if you cares. Say, we're going to do, I don't know, a Loch Ness, if Loch Ness was filled with trash, we're going to do Loch Ness cleanup efforts for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
How so many people would
Everyone's
turn out.
Everyone's on board.
Everyone would be there.
Yeah. Save the Loch Ness Monster.
They're kind of doing a good job.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is awesome. I kind of want that on a t-shirt. Save the Loch Ness Monster.
We'll get you one.
That'd be cool. I'm going to add that to my list of cool ideas for t-shirts one day when we start putting them on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
My Saturdays are for the farmers. And save the Loch Ness Monster.
Saturdays are for the farmers. And save those Loch Ness Monsters. We're gonna start a full-on cult.
Heck yes.
Good girls go cult.
Oh dear.
No, never mind. I take it back. Cult. Good girls go green. You're supposed to say it.
Green. So the Scottish Highlands have a few different volunteer trips that you can go on.
Uh-huh.
Two more prominent ones are Conservation VIP and Trees for Life. And Trees for Life has planted more than 1 million trees in the Scottish Highlands, restoring approximately 10,000 acres of forest. And so what they do is they plant trees to fight climate change and restore the Caledonian forest around Loch Ness, which is cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Especially because forests cover only about 1% of their original acreage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love tree planting initiatives that try to go above and beyond and give right. back to the earth.
Right, right. That's awesome.
Yes.
We love to see it.
Yes.
Save the Loch Ness.
Save the Loch Ness. So, are you ready for your treat?
I love treats, so okay. I am always ready.
Okay. I found a study published online by Cambridge University Press.
Okay.
Called Fantastic Beasts and Why to Conserve Them, Animals, Magic, and Biodiversity Conservation.
Wow.
Yes.
I like the spin on the Harry Potter title.
Yes, that's what I thought too. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's cool.
So this study is written by and composed by George Holmes, Thomas Anurin. I probably just butchered that. Sorry. Thomas Anurin Smith and Caroline Ward.
Cool.
So I'm going to read you the abstract and then share some quotes that I found interesting.
We love abstracts. That's how I made it through college.
Love it. Love to
reading,
see it.
Reading the abstracts on research papers.
So fine.
Saves lives.
Truly does. So this
college
is just kinda,
life hacks.
Right? Just read the abstract. So this will kind of give you a good idea of what the paper's on. And if you'd like to read it, it'll be on our website.
Be our guests. We will not read it to you.
No. But we'll read you the abstract.
What if that was just like the second half of our episode? reading a research paper.
Page one. The abstract.
Oh no.
Surprise. That's what we're gonna do now. So there is quote. Let me quote. I didn't write a single piece of
now
this.
She's quoting.
Quote. There is a broad set of human beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors around the issue of magical animals, referring to both mythical animals not recognized by science and extant animals that are recognized by science but have magical properties.
What?
Yes.
Wait, there's animals that are recognized by science that have magical properties.
Yeah, we'll see if that gets covered in the abstract. If it's not in the abstract,
we are
going to
talk about it.
I did actually. That sounds like I didn't really read the paper. I did read it.
But you didn't learn about the magical animals?
I read it minus that part.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
We need to read this article now.
Yes.
This is going to be the second half of the episode, guys.
So please, if you'd like to hear us read an article, stay tuned. So this is a broad issue. Okay, back to quote. This is a broad issue ranging from spiritual beliefs around mythical animals living in Malagasy forests to cultural heritage associated with the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland. Beliefs and behaviors around magical animals can have positive and negative impacts on biodiversity conservation goals. Yet, so far, the discipline of conservation biology has not adequately considered magical animals, neglecting to account for the broader knowledge from outside the natural sciences on this issue, and taking a narrow utilitarian approach to how magical animals should be managed without necessarily considering the broader impacts on conservation goals or ethics. Here we explore how magical animals can influence conservation goals, how conservation biology and practice has thought about magical animals, and some of the limitations of current approaches, particularly the failure to consider magical animals as part of wider systems of belief and culture. We argue that magical animals and their implications for conservation merit wider consideration. End quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people are so smart.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
but very interesting as well.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Yes.
I want to learn more about these creatures that science deem real, who are magical.
Real and magical. Well, aren't all animals both real and magical with what they can do?
No, Celia, that's just what your mom told you about yourself.
Are you trying to burn me?
Yes.
You thought you were special and magical too, but you thought wrong.
Yeah, got him.
What? Okay, well, are you ready for some quotes? More quotes?
Yeah.
So these are some of the quotes as I read over the paper. These are some that kind of stuck out to me.
Okay.
So, quote, magical animals can be powerful political tools in struggles over biodiversity and natural resources, as identity and culture associated with magical animals is reworked as a political project.
Ooh, so I'm curious. Is this like, is it kind of talking about how, like, maybe sometimes all this hype around, like, the Loch Ness Monster or other monsters like that can be harmful to the environment because of all the tourism that's brought in because of it?
Yes, but on the other side of the coin, they can also be used for conservation efforts.
Okay.
So one big example that they used were, let me see if I can find the actual words for it, the Huldu folk or elves in Iceland, I think it was.
What?
So the Huldu folk, elves in an Icelandic in Icelandic culture.
Okay.
So actually there was one particular movement where they wanted to build a highway across, and that got vetoed because of the Huldu folk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it protected the Icelandic land, but also kind of going hand in hand with trying to protect this cultural belief.
Yeah.
They were able to both protect the keep the environment whole and intact,
right,
as well as maintain this cultural belief.
Culture.
So
that makes sense.
Yes, sometimes certain belief systems can cause damage to the ecosystem, but on the flip side, look at what you can do.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. Kind of similar to keeping the forests full for Sasquatch.
Yes. So, like, as long as we maintain the forests, Sasquatch can continue to live. We love to see Sasquatch live. All, like, it's a great big circle.
We love to see it.
We love to see it.
That should be another t-shirt. We love to see Sasquatch live.
We love to see Sasquatch live. Sasquatch. Sasquatch. So, another quote, in 2015, 350,000 people visited a thriving ecotourist site in Scotland because it is allegedly inhabited by a rare endemic animal, the Loch Ness Monster. This mythical creature thus helped draw in revenue for the conservation and management of the area, as well as providing substantial economic value to the region.
Ooh, yeah, see, that is great.
Yes.
As long as the money is going to the right place.
Right.
We love to see it.
We love to see it.
We love to see Sasquatch live.
We love to see Loch Ness Monster live. You know, with lowering water levels, Nessie's going to be found one way or another, and I don't think you want to see her beached.
That's true.
So, unpopular opinion. It should be popular
should
opinion.
Should be popular.
So, anyways, I thought that was kind of cool.
Don't beach Nessie.
Don't beach, aha.
We're just full of t-shirt ideas today. Guys, go find us on Patreon. Good Girls Go Green.
We'll put them on t-shirts.
Maybe we'll start an Etsy shop.
Maybe we should.
That might be good. I feel like that's easier for people to commit to than Patreon.
That's true.
But it's just a one-time buy.
Yeah.
Anyways, support us. We love you.
We love you. We love to see you.
Or she not. Did not mean to make it that creepy.
It sounds really terrible. Please don't show up at my house. I don't want to see you in that situation.
No, we don't want to see you ever.
Never.
Unless we know you. Then we'll see you.
We're just digging ourselves into a deeper hole. Let's cease and desist immediately. Do you want one more quote?
Yes.
Okay. My final quote that I wanted to end on was, quote, Further research into the impact of magical creatures on conservation and local people is required if we are to effectively conserve the world's endangered species.
Yes. End quote. Agreed.
So
you can't save anything if you don't know about it.
Exactly. And to summarize, I mean, if you're motivated, whatever your motivation is, whatever it is, to keep the earth whole and clean and in one piece and joining conservation efforts, whatever it is, do it.
Yeah. Even if it's keeping Nessie from getting beached.
Even, we will take it. We will take you as you are.
We're all on the same team.
Whether that be because it is more financially sound for you to be eco-friendly, whether it's for health reasons, whether it be you like a certain lifestyle, you like to go to farmers markets because you like the aesthetic, or whether it's because you believe in the Loch Ness Monster.
We'll take
We'd love to see it.
No matter what. Agreed.
So, anyways, I think that's a great note to end on.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, this is a shorter episode again.
Don't apologize. Never apologize.
No apologies.
No apologies.
I hope you guys are enjoying these short episodes, because we are.
I am. I gotta say, I'm kind of enjoying the shorter ones.
I feel like it's just nice to, I mean, we got to the point. We got a little bit distracted, but not so distracted that, you know, we spent an hour talking about random things.
Right.
So.
You heard about Scooby-Doo. I thought it was relevant.
Oh, that was definitely relevant.
Very relevant.
Twilight was also relevant.
Also relevant.
So
there we go.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please download and subscribe to us if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you can, some places I know you can't subscribe. Also, it helps us out a lot if you rate or write a review. It means a lot to us. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at @g_4podcast. We have not been keeping it up super great, but we are
committed to making a change.
Yeah, we're going to be back at it again.
We were out of office
yes.
many days.
Oh, for those of you who have an Instagram and follow us, I did a little candle thing today.
Super cool.
I took all of our old candles that had just like a tiny bit of wax left in them and melted those down and combined them all together, and I made a couple new fresh candles. So
very cool.
Yes, I put it on the story, kind of the step by step on the story, but I will make one of those saved stories on our Instagram. Yes. So that you guys can check that out. Yeah, it turned out really great. So
if you guys, it smells good.
It smells great. Yeah, if you guys like have any questions about it, or if you don't have an Instagram, you can just email us and I'll get back to you on it. So speaking of, our email is goodgirlsgogreenpodcast@gmail.com, and our website, which is super not updated, but hopefully, hopefully this week sometime I will get around to updating it. You can find us at goodgirlsgogreenpodcast.com. And then, like we plugged earlier, our Patreon, you can find either in our Instagram bio, our Twitter bio. It's on our website, links to it, or you can just go to patreon.com and find us, Good Girls Go Green. There's a couple ways that you can support us there. So we really appreciate it, guys. And thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. Hey, hey.